This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father, for time in your presence tonight, Lord. An opportunity, Lord, to lift our hands and to lift our voices to you, Lord God, to proclaim your goodness, Lord God, to speak to you, Father, to stand here, Lord God, and Father, for a moment, Lord God, to let go of all the things around us, Lord God, the things of this day, of this week, Lord God. And Father, as we stand before you, Lord, that, Father, we can try to hide stuff, Lord, from you, but it won't work, Lord. It's not possible, Father. You created us, Lord God. You know the hearts of man, Lord. And as we stand here tonight, Lord, thank you that you've got an appointment with our hearts, Lord, that you want to minister to us. And I just feel I have to say that Lord is saying just to some of you tonight that it's not by power nor by might, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And we really have to look at Him for our breakthroughs and for what He wants to do in our hearts and our lives, Lord. So we worship you. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful, that you are good, Lord. Father, that you love us so much, Lord, even before the foundations of this world, Lord God, that you have this passion for us, Lord God, and that you created us, Lord. You know every little bit about our hearts and, you know, Lord God, where we stand tonight in terms of relationship with you, Lord God. And you know, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to just come closer, Lord God, to take that step and, you know, Father, just submit to your will tonight, Lord God. And yes, Father, I just sense I'm going to give a little bit of time as we stand here. Maybe some of us just need to take that step towards God tonight, Lord. Maybe some of us just need to take a quick step and say, Lord, I'm fighting this battle in my heart right now, but Lord, I choose you. Not my circumstances, not the things I'm fighting in my head or in my heart, but we will take that step and say, Lord, here I am. You are the potter, I'm the clay. Lord, form me according to your will. Thank you, Lord, that we have never have to be afraid, Lord, for your presence, Lord, to just stand here for a moment and just surrender, to give over, to say, Lord, speak to our hearts, calm the storm. Lord, it's just sometimes good to be quiet in your presence, just to be content. Just sense that the Lord is saying maybe to some of us tonight that we shouldn't build on that foundation of sand, things that just quickly come and go, things that when the storms come that wouldn't stand the test of time, but that we should build on that solid foundation. And maybe there's stuff right now in your life that you are building on sand, things that the storm can wash away. I just feel the Lord is challenging some of us to say, come to me, build on the solid foundation. I'm just going to give opportunity. If there's anyone here, just keep our eyes closed for a moment. If you are here and you just sense maybe you've got a word in your heart, if you sense right now the Holy Spirit is laying a scripture or maybe something on your heart that you need to share with the church, and I'll invite you. You can share it with me and then with the church. If you feel this, maybe you feel the Lord is stirring a word on your heart, I'll give an opportunity.
So in worship, the Lord really put Exodus 3 verse 13 and 14 on my heart, which is the following. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you to me. And for a long time I've been journeying on, but what does it mean when God says, I am who I am? Because you would expect something would follow, I am, that's who I am, that. And the Lord just said that the reason why he left that kind of open to I am who I am is otherwise we would box him to what he said after that. And we'd put him in that box. And the Lord is exactly what you need in every situation. When you are down, he will lift you up. In every situation where you are, that's who he is to you in that moment. And that's why he says, I am who I am.
Thank you, Yaku. Anyone else? Amen. God is good. Nee, julle kan nie daar agter sit nie. Nee, kom, nader. Kom sit hier so lekker by ons, sakkie. Moes dit nie, jy is niks kom nie. Kom sit hier so. Good evening. Good to have you guys here. All the guys and the girls and the ladies and all of you. So, just a little bit of what we're going to do tonight. It's August, so it's our annual or usual or biannual prayer and fast. So, I don't know, some of us have been fasting from the sun the past few days because there hasn't been any sun in town. But fortunately, this afternoon, Dries will it say. Ek het gesien, Isuzu bakkie. As jy wil, wie sê Isuzu bakkie? Okay, no one's. Maybe it's at the school. Ach, gaan jy? Jou lichte is aan. Okay, so, it's the prayer and fast. It's not your Isuzu bakkie. Okay, someone else's Isuzu bakkie. Seker Duansen. Nie jou Isuzu bakkie nie. Duan het Isuzu bakkie nie. Okay, on that very lighty note, it's as I said, August, first week of August, we always have our prayer and fast. So we will fast and pray in our small group context. And it's in terms of the build up for convergence that we will have from 6 to 8 September, that means about in a month's time. Convergence will be in Johannesburg or Pretoria, I think, and in Somerset West. But we will stream it live to our church, I think also to Windhoek. So it's something I'm really looking forward to. From the Friday night, the Saturday, until the Sunday morning, there will be various sessions, teachings. You can all, we will give you the program closer to the time. But this is now a time where we prepare our hearts, where we really say, God, we're looking forward to that. The theme of convergence this year is the sound of the harvest. Now, in the past month, we had a sermon series where we spoke on new life, new desires, new commandment, and a new commission where we actually go and all of those things. And last week, we had a wonderful get-together, the churches in town, at the Celebrate event. I believe that was special to be there, to be part of something bigger as well. So tonight is just a sermon concerning, basically a little bit of the harvest. So what are we going to do? When I'm finished, we're going to watch a 7-minute video from Pastor Heinrich Titus. He's the global leader of our Shofar movement. All the churches, he's there in Somerset West. We'll watch a short video where he just shares a little bit on his heart, what to expect for convergence. And then afterwards, we're going to end off by praying in our small groups. Groups of 4 or 5, doesn't matter. Because it's really a place where we, and in the next 3 weeks, every week there will be a theme, something we're going to pray for. So something I've just been saying lately a few times is, it seems that we as the church need to pray for ourselves. Okay, so we're going to pray a little bit starting off tonight just for God to open our hearts and ears to be sensitive to the sound of the harvest. So that's the way, and then we will obviously end. We usually have the first Sunday of a new month. We've got communion. So we will also have communion as we pray in our little small groups. So tonight I want to share a little bit from Acts chapter 20. I'm going to share from verse 17 to 27. It's about 10 verses. And I just love God's word. So this morning we had to rush a little bit to get through all the clips and all the things we had to show. Tonight we've got a little bit more time. And just to give you a little bit of background, it's about Paul Paul was building up the church in Ephesus for about 3 years, preaching the word, teaching there, walking around, making disciples with people. And after the 3 years that he spent in Ephesus, he actually went and he spent the winter in Corinth. Now, Paul wasn't like some of us that goes on a mission trip for a long weekend or a week or something like that. Paul was someone who sometimes for years went on an extended mission journey, and there's about three of them recorded in the book of Acts. And after he spent the winter in Corinth, he was back on his way to Jerusalem. He actually wanted to get to Pentecost, and he had a collection that he wanted to give to the church there. They were really going through a tough time. And then he actually was in the port of Miletus, about 20 kilometers or 20 miles from Ephesus. And then he had a request where he wanted to see the leaders of this church for a last time. Now, you know, when all of us, most of us are relatively young, but you know, if you've ever been to something like someone turning 70 years old, 60, 70, 80, maybe even more years old, and there's a get-together of the family, you know, and that person get the opportunity to share a few words, you know, then it's time to listen. It's someone who's been, has walked a long road in life, has got a lot of experience, and at opportunities like that, people usually share from their hearts. We see the same thing at weddings. We see the same thing many times at funerals, where there's an opportunity where there's last words. There's an opportunity. It's always a touchy, challenging thing. I don't know if any of you have experienced something like that, but to sit next to someone on their deathbed and have one of those last conversations, you know, that's usually things that count. It's usually not cheap words. It's from the heart. It's really stuff that matter. Now, Paul knew through the Holy Spirit that this was probably the last time he's going to see the elders or the leaders of this church in Ephesus, this church that he basically established, that he built up. As I said, he spent about 3 years there. And in this next 10 verses, we basically see a short summary of what was Paul's heart. And just as when a person of 70, 80 years are having the opportunity to share something, or a husband, or a, I just want to give advice to all the guys. And we all make the same mistake, you know, when you want to speak to your wife's father, dan sê ons nog steeds oom. En we nou sê pa, né? Usually remember that one. Everyone always get that. Yo, oom, ek bedoel pa. And then all the guys are shouting and making noises and unbiblical things. I hate that habit. I hope you guys won't allow that. But nevertheless, that's up to you guys. I'll give you advice how to deal with that later on. But back to the sermon. So Paul was sharing here from his heart. He was really what his life and his ministry was about. And I guess if there was a man to listen to, it's the Apostle Paul. Such a powerful witness, man of God, etc. So let's read through verse 17 to Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 27. Can follow on your phones. If you can read there, it's fine. It will be there at the back. Nice large letters as well. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, and how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks towards repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 22, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." Verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Powerful verses. Now, just a little bit of background once again. Just remember, I think Paul was such a strategist. He was such a thinker. He was such an intelligent man. When we study the book of Acts, if you read the book of, not Acts, the book of Romans, and you study, it keeps theologians and scholars busy for a very long time. The depth of his exposition of the gospel is so powerful. It's so, I mean, you study a few chapters in the book of Romans and you can see it's not a five-year-old or not a, let's say, a grade five person writing here. It's a clever, intelligent man led by the hand of God, by the Holy Spirit, who was giving us scripture here. Okay? That was the Apostle Paul, preaching powerfully, writing powerfully, and obviously he knew he had this opportunity. He was only 20 miles from the, it's almost the distance to Walvis Bay. He had this opportunity to see this beloved people, the leaders of the church of Ephesus, for one last time. And obviously, Paul premeditated what this conversation had to be about, what he wanted to speak to them about. And this is what this 10 verses is about. So just to see if everyone is awake, you know, do you think this part about Paul here in Acts, did Paul write it here more towards the start of his life, his early ministry, or more towards the back, the last part of his life and ministry? Lost. Who else wants to differ? Who wrote Acts? Luke. Paul didn't write it. Luke wrote it. Okay, just to see that everyone is awake tonight. Okay, it's okay, Anu. It happens to the best of us. So yeah, it's not about the start of the end of his ministry. Luke was his travel companion. Luke was his personal doctor. Luke traveled with him. Luke was an eyewitness. Luke was a historian. Luke was a meticulous man. And Luke actually wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, okay, which is actually the largest portion in Scripture according to word count. Okay, Paul wrote more letters, but Luke actually, if you combine Luke and Acts in terms of words, it's actually the biggest part of Scripture. But here, Luke is giving a testimony of what he was seeing. Okay, it's just like me and my here tonight. I can say Hanyu was here, Tsaki was here, and Dries was here, Dualine and the whole family was here. So it's actually Luke writing to us here. So let's start at verse 17 and just have a look what this conversation is all about. Verse 17, basically, he arrived there at Miletus and he sent to Ephesus, called the elders. He said, come guys, I want to talk to you for one last moment. And then he started the conversation there. He says, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set my foot in Asia, serving the Lord. Paul didn't start by repenting and saying, guys, that night when I was in a fight, that night that I embarrassed you as the church, that night that I was drunk or I had an affair or anything like that. Paul starts by saying, you yourselves, you know what I lived like, how I lived among you the whole time. Paul's talking about his testimony, his character, the person that he was. And I believe it's so important for us as the church to take that to heart and to protect our testimonies. You know why? Because the world is watching the church. Do you know that? Do you know that people are watching you as a Christian? People want to know if God is real. They want to know if Jesus is alive. And they want to know if they stand here and they see us worshiping and lifting our hands tonight, if we live the same way on a Tuesday morning, on a Wednesday night, or a Friday night, or whenever. And Paul had this amazing testimony. And it's something for us just to treasure in our hearts, to value it, and to protect our own testimonies, that whenever we go somewhere, we don't have to do the ostrich thing and put our heads in the sand and be embarrassed about anything. Okay? So sometimes we have to say sorry. Sometimes we have to repent. Sometimes we have to say, I got it wrong. I lost my temper. I said something I shouldn't have, or any something like that. But value your testimony. Value your character, that we can walk in the same footsteps as Paul. continues in 6 verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. I think many times when Paul came to visit your church, I think the little children and some of the adults probably ran away. Because Paul probably looked like something, I'm not saying it to be funny, but something that was chewed on by a hyena or something like that. Paul writes and he says, he received from the Jews 40 stripes minus one, 5 times. That means almost close to 200 whips or houwe with a sweep, okay? You can make the math. Some of you are looking. Paul says, I'll repeat it, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 stripes minus one, because they thought, or the rule was, that a man can't take 40 lashes with a whip. So the tradition was 40 minus one, just to keep you alive. He got that 5 times. Twice he was beaten with rods and clubs. Once he was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. He was hungry and cold. Now, what do you think someone looked like that survived the stoning or beating with clubs? You know, the Red Cross and the United Nations and Human Rights Watch and all those guys weren't there. Paul probably came in through that door, arriving there, and he was scarred. We don't have pictures of him. He doesn't describe anywhere what he looks like. But Paul probably looked like someone who fought with a lion and just made it. Okay? Paul was someone who bared the marks of what he believed in. So, if we continue in verse 20, he says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. Okay, so shrink isn't Shrek's little brother. Okay, shrink is when you see something that's frightening you and you want to take a step back because you're afraid of it. Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring the gospel, the good news, preaching from whatever was profitable to you. Whenever he was afraid, whenever he was intimidated, whenever he see there was trouble on its way, Paul took a step forward, not a step backwards. Paul wasn't afraid. He wasn't intimidated. He didn't, although he might have been afraid in his flesh, his spirit prevailed. Okay? He didn't shrink from that. He was declaring basically the good news of Jesus Christ. We spoke a lot about the gospel in recent weeks. And then teaching, basically, he gave a sound exposition of the gospel. Imagine, you know, our Bible school looks so simple against the Apostle Paul's Bible school. Imagine in that 3 years in Ephesus, what it must have been like to listen to a man teaching who wrote Romans and Philippians and Ephesians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Titus? Not Act. I knew. Now you will not forget that one forever. Okay. You will never forget that one. But Paul was teaching. He was basically telling them about Jesus Christ and the birth of Christ and the prophecies pointing to Christ and the life of Christ and the miracles and Jesus dying on the cross and the way he rose again and his ascension and how he's coming back, explaining all of these things, saying he went from house to house. He went to the Greeks. He went to the Jews. He went to the rich. He went to the poor. He went to the males or females. Paul didn't say, this group of people, I'm neglecting you. Paul says, I want to preach the gospel, the good news to everyone, declaring that and teaching that. And then he says, of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, he was explaining to them, listen, we are all in trouble. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the bad news and the good news. How the bad news, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and then Jesus Christ died for all. Paul was explaining all of these things. And as that word shrink, Paul wasn't afraid. It's something that just reminds me in Acts chapter 4, speaks of Peter and John. I just quickly want to share with you Acts chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. And I'm reading to you from verse 18. It says, so they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. I love that verse. I know Yaku also loved that verse. Because here they are threatened by the Jews and saying to them, listen, you should keep quiet, because the Jews didn't want more people to become Christians. And here they just say, we cannot stop telling about the things we have seen and heard. Okay, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had God's presence in them. And they also, just as Paul here says, I cannot take a step back. I cannot shrink. Even if there's stuff that is challenging to me, I will take a step forward. I will preach the gospel. I will preach the good news. So that was what Paul was doing. Then, as I said, he was speaking about repentance, telling basically how we are in trouble and the good news, etc. I believe all of us know it right now. Do we? Amen. Can we explain it? Do we love to explain it? I was just, as I was preparing, I was just thinking, how many times do I preach the gospel? Once a year? Once a month? Once a week? Once a day? How often? It's not a right or wrong trick question. It's just something that we need to ask ourselves. That's why we are preaching about the good news and the harvest leading up to convergence, where the theme is the sound of the harvest. Okay? That are the gospel and the good news, our passion, is it in our hearts? Are we sometimes afraid in our families or extended families or workplaces or wherever we are to share the good news? Do we want to take that steps back and say, it's a bit too scary, phone a friend, call a pastor, whatever? Are we ready to share that? It's something we have to challenge ourselves with. And here in verse 22, Paul says something that just challenges me so much. And he says, verse 22, and now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Paul was being obedient to the calling upon his life. But Paul was not living the American dream. Paul didn't have this vision of a little house in Swakopmund there by the sea, retiring when you're 60 years old, playing golf, fishing, all of that, spending time with the Grand Clankeners, those type of things. Paul knew that he had to be obedient, and God's going to send him to places that is scary, places where another whipping awaits him, a possible stoning, a possible mob violence, if I can call it, clubbing, anything like that. That was so challenging. Now, I just want you to look to a word. Maybe I just want to quickly teach you something. There's a slide that says that Greek lexical syntactical analysis. It sounds like something very, very challenging. But it's actually a term that we use when we do a bit of hermeneutics, which the first year Bible school class will do in the second semester. Yes, Mias, we're going to enjoy that. So it sounds very complicated, but it's actually only where we study and look at the word's definition and the relationship of that word to other words in the sentence or in the passage. And sometimes we are very fast to read through Scripture, and sometimes we should just gear down a little bit to second gear and take a little bit of time and work through the words. Paul says here, now just look at that word constraint. That Greek word dio, it says to bind, to tie, or to constrain. It indicated that the Holy Spirit was giving Paul an exceptionally strong sense of compulsion, that he had to go quickly and directly to Jerusalem. Holy Spirit really stirring his heart, speaking to him and saying, Paul, I want you to go to Jerusalem. But in the same sentence, Paul says, now that means he was bound by the Spirit. He was almost tied by the Spirit. The Spirit had got hold of him because Paul let go of his own will, of his own life. He said, God, your will, not mine. And then Paul writes on in that, or Luke actually, and he says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. What was jail like? What was prison like 2,000 years ago? Human Rights Watch, Red Cross, all of those guys coming by just to see that the food is okay and all of that. No, it was a harsh place, okay? But Paul still knew that even though the Spirit says to him he needs to go there, it's going to be challenging. And there's another key word when we continue to verse 24. It starts with but. You know, that's the way we speak. In Afrikaans is it want of maar of sulke woorde wat ons gebruik. In English, when there's the word but, so you need to make a connection here. He ends off where he says, afflictions and imprisonment awaits me, but. Now he says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. Why did no one say amen? Don't say amen if you don't count the cost. Because it's heavy guns, heavy artillery that Paul is using here. Who of you love your life? Don't raise your hand. Who of us live for ourselves? Who of us are focused on ourselves, dressed warmly, you had something to eat today, all of that. We are looking, nothing wrong with that, by the way. Okay, I'm not trying to be weird here in a sense. But we need to understand what Paul is saying. Paul says, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, sometimes 10 verses can become an hour and a half sermon. If we start to look at language, if we start to look at the words and what Paul is actually saying. You know, my kids are young. Some of you know them. So they're still at the place where they sometimes read something and you ask them, what did you read? And they're like, you know, and they can mention one or two things. And hopefully most of us, when we read something, we've learned to memorize. We've learned to pay attention. We've learned to study. Now you can say amen. Ooh, siele wakker. Okay, so Paul says, if only I may finish my course. Now that word course, once again, if you were a Greek-speaking person, it would make perfectly sense to you, but it was actually like a racetrack. Think of the Velvica Stadium or your school where you grew up, the sports stadium with that circle or oval around the cricket field or whatever. It was about 160 to about 190 meters, and it had a starting point and it had a finishing point. And Paul says here, he says, but, okay, I do not account my life. And then he says, if only I may finish my course, this race that I've started, this race that I've been on. Paul didn't turn back after the first guy who said, Paul, I don't like your sermon. Paul didn't run away the first time someone picked up a stone and say, hey, you say that word again, I'm going to stone you. When the clubs came, when the whippings came, it just made Paul, and I'll come back to this point a little bit later. Paul had such a revelation of this course that he had to finish. And it's something we need to ask ourselves. What do we need to be faithful to? What is God calling me and you to be obedient and faithful to right now? Maybe we aren't on a mission trip in Ephesus. Maybe we're not planting a church somewhere. But in your own life, I know that God will always ask you, because God is always busy walking a road with us. What do you need to be obedient of? What is the course? What is the race you are running? And then Paul continues and he says, and the ministry. What was Paul's ministry? He explains it very, if we say it very quickly, that was the good news. That was the gospel, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, that was his ministry, the good news. That was what Paul was talking about. And then he says, which I received from the Lord. We can only receive our ministry from the Lord. He will implant it in your hearts. I just love it when I see people come to you and they say, but, you know, I think God is leading me that I need to serve in the worship team or in Kitty's church. You know, that's awesome when you start to get a revelation of what God wants to do in your life. Maybe it's a soup kitchen. Maybe it's a kindergarten. It can be your career. There's many things. But just learn to discern what God is giving you in this life, because we're going to have a conversation in eternity about what we do in this life. Amen. That I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I want to speak the whole night about the gospel, but I'm not. We had preached on that before. Elmi laughs because we spoke about another 6 weeks in Bible school on that. And it's just something that I believe should be like a seed in our hearts that we nourish all the time, that we want to talk about. So guys, it's just important to hear that Paul says, my goal, this course for me, is not to stay alive, it's to stay on course. Paul says, my life counts for nothing. I'm ready to die. Lord Jesus, receive me. Here I am. But for Paul, Paul doesn't care about, his goal isn't to stay alive, but to stay on that course, to remain faithful no matter what darts the enemy points or fiery darts or whatever the enemy sends his way. I believe in our culture and for us, it's really challenging, but it's something that we can always grow in, and God allows us to take that first small steps and just say, Lord, here I am, work through me, I want to be obedient to you. Paul was so committed to this task that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to him. And then we continue to verse 25. It says there, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone out proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. That's self-explaining. Paul basically is greeting them here. He says, guys, I'm not going to, probably not going to see you again. And then in verse 26, he ends off where we will end off, verse 26 and 7. He says, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Paul basically says, listen, I've spent this 3 years in Ephesus. I've preached the word. I've shared the good news. I did what I had to do. The ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to me, I've been faithful. You know how I lived among you. I've been obedient to that, and I want to finish it, and I want to finish it good. And he says, listen, I haven't shrunk from this in any way, declaring from you to you the whole counsel of God. Paul says, listen, I've spoke to you about the A to Z of the good news, of what God has revealed to me, what I needed to share. Once again, it's a challenge to us. Sometimes we sit somewhere in a conversation and we will say, oh, God is amazing. God created us. God is love. God is good. God is the great I am, something like that. And then we just hope the conversation doesn't go in the direction of baptism or spiritual gifts or praying in tongues or tithing, because it's going to be really challenging. Amen? Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we're afraid that the conversation might go somewhere and we might feel a little bit intimidated, that we want to be like little Shrek and take a Shrek back, okay? To be afraid of engaging and sharing the truth and talking about it. Paul is basically saying, guys, there's no blood in my hands. Those who have responded to the gospel, you are my brothers, I'll see you in eternity. But those of you who have rejected the gospel, God's not going to hold it against me. I've shared the whole gospel, the whole counsel, the whole will of God. I've shared it all. Now, just to zoom out a little bit and once again get a little bit, see the bigger picture of the book of Acts. It's Paul speaking here, sharing his heart, some of his last thoughts towards the leaders of Ephesus. But we can just take a moment and we see who was Paul when he was still Saul. Now, remember, Damascus Road, Saul became Paul. It was his conversion. He got born again, we can put it like that. I just want to take you quickly back to Acts chapter 7. That was where the first Christian martyr basically died. Stephen was stoned. He was killed by stoning because the Jews hated his guts, in a sense, for speaking about Jesus Christ and basically saying that they are guilty in many ways, etc. But just Luke is giving here in Acts chapter 22, verse 20, he talks about himself. And I'll read it to you. There it is on the board as well. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who was killing them. Paul is saying there, listen, get a bigger rock. Take another stone. Kill this man. Kill Stephen here. He needs to die because he talks about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Take another rock. I'll look after your garments. Paul says, basically, the word tells us here that he was approving and watching after or at that moment when Stephen was killed. Stephen was a Christian. Okay, Stephen was a believer. He was a follower of the way of Jesus Christ. And Paul hated him. Paul was at that stage a Pharisee, and he was angry for what was happening here, together with all the other Pharisees. If we go to Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it says there, and Saul approved of his execution. Now this is, remember the words, this 10 verses, just compare it a little bit. It says there, and Paul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. It says that Paul approved of his execution. Paul said, well done, guys. Well done for stoning Stephen. Well done, did a good thing. Okay? That man died a terrible death. And here we can see, after that, there was really, the church were afraid, people were, because there came a guy like Paul with his men, with his clubs, with his horses, came to your house, didn't ask how old you are, didn't ask if you're looking after children. Men and women were dragged to prison. Okay? What happened if you said, no, don't take me, I'm going to phone the police, I'm going to phone the Red Cross? Man, you get a worse hiding. Okay? If we study, the Romans were ruthless, but the Jews weren't lightweight in some ways. Okay? So I'm just sharing this because remember, that was Saul, who wasn't a Christian, who wasn't a believer, who wasn't inside the kingdom of God. And here, later in Acts, we see Paul the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to this church that he persecuted. He was there stoning. He wasn't stoning. He was approving and watching as Stephen was stoned, was killed in a harsh way. And here we see his heart. He says, I don't count my life for anything. I just want to stay faithful. I just want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to spread the gospel and the good news. Now that's the power of the gospel. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. Okay? Isn't it an amazing transformation of someone just to see scripture, to read it for what it is, and how his life has been transformed into this father figure, loving the church, spending time with them? Guys, we need to read the word. We need to study it. We need to see what it's about. So I'm ending off. I'll try to be quick. Just 6 quick points I want to make that we can take home and maybe meditate a little bit on in our own time. Verse 18, you yourself know how I lived among you the whole time. As I said, I spoke about his testimony, the way he lived, the way that people saw him going from house to house, public and in private, how he conveyed or conducted himself, etc. In verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. Paul wasn't afraid. But he wasn't, that was not day one of his Christian life. At this stage, Paul had been ministering for a while. We need to equip ourselves. We need to build ourselves up. We need to be sure that we are strong in the word, strong in the spirit, that we can share the good news. Point number 3, Paul says, I've had one message for the Jews and the Greek alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning towards God and having faith in Jesus Christ. Paul knew what his life was about. Paul knew what the good news looked about, what the good news was about. And he shared it to everyone. That fourth point, obedience to God, verse 22, not my goal to stay alive, but my goal is to stay on course. That ministry that the Lord has given to him. Paul says, dying, I don't have an issue. I just want to be obedient to what you called me, Lord Jesus. Point number 5, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord. Paul says, I can see that finish line. I can see it, I'm running. When I get to that place and I die, I'm going to live forever. Amen? That's why Paul can write in Corinthians and he can say, death, where's your sting? I'm going to live forever. This tent, it may die, it may go away, but I'm going to live forever. Point number six. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. It's a responsibility that we have as the church to equip ourselves, to study the word in season, out of season, to be ready, to really, as I said, yeah, just equip ourselves to understand when you don't know something, to ask, etc. And I really trust and believe that whenever, whatever conversation comes up, whether it's the baptism or praying in tongues or whatever the case might be, that we can be there and say, but I'm not going to shy away. I'll enter this conversation. And there, I've got the word to stand on. I want to finish this race well. So guys, tonight, I just shared a little bit about just Paul speaking to this precious group of people, sharing his last thoughts. And I want to challenge you maybe to go and read it at home in your own time, in your own translation, in your own language. Maybe you want to do it in German or in Afrikaans or other language. No problem. It will say exactly the same thing. So we're going to end off now. So.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.